Well, eventually I did learn to replace my feelings of shame with curiosity. And that's what we're going to try to do today. How might we approach all the ups and downs of parenting from a place of wonder rather than getting stuck in how we think our kids should act and how we think we need to respond in order to kind of fix our kids and our stepkids, right?
That's right, yeah. Welcome to the Blended Family Coaching Show, where you'll discover how to move your stepfamily from just surviving to truly thriving.
Grab your headphones and listen in as we share practical, real-life strategies for building healthy bonds,
understanding the kids' perspective,
romance and partnership,
parenting with great teamwork,
and yes, even co-parenting with a difficult ex.
We're Mike and Kim Anderson, and we believe with the right tools, every step couple can overcome the common challenges of stepfamily life.
Join us for authentic and sometimes comical conversations to discover how you can lead your family with confidence and create the future you really want.
Well, hey there. Welcome. Thank you so much for joining us. Mm-hmm. You know, we're so grateful for the time that you choose to spend with us each week here. And we commend you for your intentionality as you seek out ways to experience more connection within your blended family.
Absolutely.
And thank you to each person who's shared your feedback with us along the way. Your affirmation is so encouraging to us, and your suggestions help us meet you right where you are. Mm-hmm. And we really want to bring you value. Now, hey, I wonder, if you happen to be listening right now on Apple Podcasts, would you be willing to go over and give us a star rating? At the time of this recording, we have 141 ratings. And if we only have 10 listeners, simply tap that star rating. It'll only take a couple of seconds. Then we break 150. Woo-hoo! And we would love to do that. And I would love to invite you to be one of those 10 that help us out with that. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know about you, but podcast and product ratings really make a difference to me because I want to be selective about where I spend my time and my energy. So leaving your rating and your feedback, it actually helps others decide if we might be a good fit for them. Mm-hmm. So those of you on Apple Podcasts today, please take 2 seconds and just give us a rating. And thanks in advance for helping us out with that. Okay, so let's get started. Mm-hmm. You know, Kim and I hear from couples all the time who are experiencing some really tough stuff.
Right.
Maybe that's you. Mm-hmm. You know, many couples feel disconnected from each other and disconnected as a family. That can really feel hopeless sometimes. But our current vantage point, 21 years now into our own blend.
Ooh, hard to believe.
I know. That's given us a new vision for our blended family, and believe it or not, for yours as well.
Absolutely.
We can picture a world where blended families experience a future full of hope and connection in their couple relationship and with their whole blended family.
That's right. And that's why we keep ourselves focused on the mission of helping stepfamilies move from a place of confusion and conflict to a life of confidence and connection.
Yeah.
And we strive to do that by using practical tools and resources that make a real difference in your blending journey. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're always reading and researching ways, different ways to help you. Mm-hmm. And one area that we spend a lot of time researching is around parenting and step-parenting.
Oh, yeah.
Which is the number one reasons couples reach out to us for help. It's tough.
Right. Yep.
There's so much uncertainty around how to respond to kids and to stepkids in a lot of different situations that pop up when families blend. That's just the reality. And all too often, the challenges lead to disconnection. And that's the opposite of what you really want,
right? That's right. Yeah. And, you know, we've experienced more than our fair share of disconnection along our journey. And we know how discouraging that can feel. We've had seasons where we thought things were going along fine, but then something would occur and we'd struggled to grow genuine connection with each other and with our kids.
Yeah.
Now, chances are you can relate. So over the next couple of episodes, we're going to focus on a few secrets to securing real, genuine connection with your kids and your stepkids. And we'll help you discover some practical tools for those moments that you feel stuck and you're wondering, how am I going to handle this?
Right. And to start out, we want to challenge you to consider a paradigm shift. Rather than treating parenting as a job, we're inviting you to embrace parenting as a journey. So instead of asking yourself, what am I supposed to do in this situation with this child? We're going to help you explore how to focus on something different. How shall I be with this child? And we're going to share why it's more important to be present than perfect as you're raising healthy, resilient kids in your home.
Absolutely. Because the goal is not parenting perfection.
Nope.
Instead, the goal is to recognize your own tendencies and typical responses, and then to develop the flexibility and openness to move in different directions when your reactions and responses just don't seem to be helping your child.
Right.
Now, we're excited to be drawing on psychological research, neuroscience, as well as our own experiences to share six relational needs for human growth that together form the foundation of thriving parent-child connections.
That's right. And we're drawing on the wisdom from a book we recently discovered called The Six Needs of Every Child by Jeffrey and Amy Ulrich. And I just love the subtitle to their book, Empowering Parents and Kids Through the Science of Connection.
Yeah, I like
that
too.
Doesn't that sound exciting?
Yep. You know?
This kind of stuff fascinates us because we know the value of connection, especially for blended families.
Yeah. So today we're going to be focusing on some insights from the Ulrich's book and exploring how you might take some practical steps toward growing deeper connection with your kids and your stepkids by just understanding these six needs of every child.
Which, you know, I was excited to discover are not about being a perfect parent.
Woo!
Yeah, exactly.
Ah, that's relief.
But instead, these six needs come from a relational-focused view of parenting and have been described and investigated over the last 60 years through the science of attachment, child development, and neuroscience. And I can't wait to share this with you because I love this book, and I believe our discussion will help to broaden your understanding around parenting. The back cover of the book says this: by integrating the science of connection with practical tools, this guidebook offers a trustworthy roadmap for the journey of imperfect parenting.
I love that.
And after reading the book, I agree with that statement 100%. It's a great guidebook for us imperfect parents.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited to get started today and talk about this.
Me too. And I really like that phrase, the journey of imperfect parenting. I am so grateful that I don't have to be perfect as a parent.
Right.
I mean, it's no secret that parenting is hard, right? Step parenting is hard for sure.
Yep.
And there's no such thing as a perfect parent or a perfect step parent. I think most of us are surprised by the range of emotions that we can experience when it comes to parenting and step parenting.
Oh, yeah.
I remember when you and I first started out on our blended family journey. And I looked at Annika through eyes of excitement and anticipation at first. And, you know, I experienced a sense of triumph in those little moments, like when she mastered riding her bike without the training wheels.
All right.
Now, this was after, of course, I was, you know, exhausting myself running beside her for weeks, holding her up and trying to offer her encouragement and guidance.
You were so patient.
I tried to be, you know, but there were lots of those kinds of little delightful moments with her. But honestly, I've also experienced the opposite. I've felt disappointment. I've been irritated when her actions and her attitudes didn't match up with my expectations. And in those moments, in my disapproval and rigid judgment, I acted pretty aggressively toward Annika and toward you because you weren't responding the way that I thought you were supposed to as her parent.
Right.
Yeah. It's tough.
Yeah. And you know, it is surprising how we often experience these intense feelings of love and then flashes of anger towards our kids.
For sure. You know? And stepkids.
Yeah. I know I've been deeply disappointed with all three of our kids at times. And then I feel ashamed at my own disappointment. And then that shame has weighed me down in the past and kind of kept me stuck in this place of pain and confusion, which distanced me from my kids and created even more pain, right? Well, eventually I did learn to replace my feelings of shame with curiosity. And that's what we're going to try to do today. How might we approach all the ups and downs of parenting from a place of wonder rather than getting stuck in how we think our kids should act and how we think we need to respond in order to kind of fix our kids and our stepkids, right?
That's right, yeah. And you know, we've learned that when we try to fix our kids and stepkids by demanding compliance or using power, guilt, shame, or fear to control their behavior, our kids tend to pull away from us, and then we often experience regret. You know, we've all done and said things in a heat of a difficult moment with our kids, things we later come to regret because it creates distance and pain. But there's some really good news for all of us. As humans, we grow through, not in spite of, hard things.
Ooh, say that again, honey.
Okay. So as humans, we grow through, not in spite of hard things. Mm-hmm. We're growing through those hard things.
Yes.
Our imperfect selves are exactly who our imperfect children need. Mm. The reality is you're not perfect, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Your kids and your stepkids are not perfect, and that's okay too.
Yep.
You can own that truth with hope rather than despair.
Absolutely. And that's the picture that this book reveals. That's it right there in a nutshell.
Yeah.
And when things get hard, here's what helps. Understanding your kids' wiring and their core needs, and then discovering how you can speak to those needs. This simple process makes all the difference, and that's what we'll be exploring over the next couple of episodes with the help of the Ulrichs book, The Six Needs of Every Child.
Yeah, in the book, the Ulrichs do a deep dive into each of these needs, which are delight, support, boundaries, protection, comfort, and equipping. And today, we're just going to touch on three of these core needs. But before we do that, I think it's important to understand why all six of these things are actual needs and how important they are when it comes to growing secure connection with our kids and stepkids.
Absolutely. Let's talk a bit about the theory of attachment.
Mm-hmm.
So back in 1951, British psychologist John Bowlby proposed his theory of attachment. Bowlby argued that humans are born with two complementary instincts that shape development. The instinct to draw near to trusted caregivers for safety and comfort under distress, and the instinct to go out and explore and master the world around them when the coast is clear. These two instincts maintain a balance between safety and adventure, preservation and growth.
Yeah, and these instincts within each child are paired with a parent's natural instincts to monitor and intervene on behalf of the child as the situation demands. See, these instincts actually bind us to one another. They keep our kids alive when they're little and vulnerable, right? And they also prepare them to be a contributing member of community as they grow and mature. Our children's complementary instincts for exploration and refuge seeking actually show themselves over and over again as they grow up. But why is this all important, honey?
Right. Well, the Ulrichs simply put it this way. Forget parenting formulas. It's attachment that matters. Parents who enter the attachment relationship and meet their children's needs consistently, not perfectly, they can raise children who are more secure and competent in the world.
Yeah.
So summarizing 50 plus years of attachment related research, we can now say that having a secure attachment relationship helps our kids develop in three important ways. First, it equips them to regulate their own emotions. Second, it gives them a sense of who they are and the confidence to try new things. And third, it protects them from major mental and physical health problems later in life. Mm-hmm. That's important.
That's right. So while healthy attachment is not a guarantee against hardship or a prescription for any certain outcome,
right,
children with secure attachments are in a better position to weather difficulty and to step out into an unknown world with confidence and security.
Mm.
And I'm sure we probably all want that for kids and stepkids, right?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. So let's dive in to discover how we can approach parenting in a way that builds secure attachment. And to make this easy, in the book, the Ulrichs have created a simple but profound tool for you to use. And listen to what they have to say. You are on a journey with your child into an unknowable future, learning and growing as you go. Sometimes the way is clear and easy, and sometimes you feel as if you'll be lost forever. In any case, it is helpful to have a compass, a way to make sense of where you are and where you might turn if you're feeling stuck.
That's right. So this compass, it's actually a graphic that they've created in the shape of a circle.
That's really cool.
Yeah, with you and your child at the center and the six needs that are critical for children to develop secure attachment are kind of around.
Right.
And the great news is that you don't need to be perfect at meeting all the needs all at once to help kids securely attach. You just need to understand enough about the needs to be able to do an average job of meeting them.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that's great, because sometimes I feel really average.
Yeah, parenting's hard.
Yeah. The goal is balance, flexibility, and connection, not perfection. Mm-hmm. And they talk about how to use the compass in the book. It's certainly a helpful tool.
Yes, and the compass is set up in a way that groups these needs. There are three specific needs that make up the refuge-seeking instinct side of the compass, and three needs that make up the exploration instinct side, like we just talked about.
Yep.
And for today, we're going to focus on the exploration needs. And the first one is delight, which is discovering and expressing your love by giving kids the message, I see you.
Mm-hmm. And the next one is support, which is about anticipating opportunities and obstacles. Really, we're asking the kids, how can I help?
Right.
Hey, we'll get back to the show in just a moment. But first, we have a question for you.
What if you could create clarity, confidence, and genuine connection in your blended family? And you didn't have to do that alone.
Yeah. Imagine what it might be like to feel excited about your future and have the insights you need to influence positive growth in your family.
Mm-hmm.
You might get to experience transformation like our friends Chris and Nicole. Listen to what they have to say.
Our baseline went from just trying to survive certain weekends to, okay, we've actually grown to the point where we're seeing admittable changes in the kids and in the structure and in
awesome.
Understanding what we need.
Everyone's family setup is different, and yet at the core, a lot of us are feeling the same things.
Yeah.
And so I almost felt like it was my fault and I was a bad person, and why was I this awful human being for feeling this way? And just being able to validate that some of that's normal, to acknowledge that it's okay, but also to be able to work past it, I think has been leaps and bounds of where we were when we first started.
If you want to accelerate your growth as a family, just like Chris and Nicole have, be sure you're listening in over the next couple of weeks as we reveal how you can join us along with a small but mighty group of other blended family couples who are building more hope and peace in their homes.
That's right. Be listening, watching your email, and following us on social. We can't wait for you to join us.
Okay, let's get back to the episode.
And then there's also boundaries, which defines values and limits for our kids as they're out there exploring mm-hmm. and answers the question, how far is too far?
That's right. So this side of the compass represents that instinct that kids have to go out and explore and really master the world around them, mm-hmm. delight, support, and boundaries. Now, the other side of the compass represents the instinct to draw near for safety and comfort. It's that refuge-seeking side of the compass.
Exactly. And we'll focus on those three needs next week instead of releasing a simple step. So make sure you don't miss that. Mm-hmm. If you're not already following the show on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, now might be a great time to do that so that you don't miss anything.
That's right.
Right?
That's
okay.
Right. All right. So the compass visual is a tangible way for parents and step parents to picture healthy ways to respond in the circumstances along the journey of imperfect parenting.
Yes. We want to encourage you to grab a copy of this book so that you can see the compass visually, but also continue to learn how to use the compass as a practical tool. It's mm-hmm. really great. Yep. And we're going to put a link in the show notes for you to order the book.
Absolutely. We highly recommend you get it because the simple picture actually helps parents to see not only what their kids need for healthy development and connection, mm-hmm. but also how the kids' behaviors often point to areas of unmet needs. Mm. That's really interesting. It can help take the guessing out of your parenting dilemmas.
Yeah, we all need that.
For sure.
Now listen to this awesome revelation from the book. Healing can come when parents begin to understand how their reaction to their children's behaviors often illuminates certain needs that they still have themselves.
Oh boy.
As we begin to understand and address our own unmet needs, it not only helps our children, but gives us a chance to heal and flourish too.
I really love that. You know, it helps me to remember that I'm not going to get it right every time because my parents didn't get it right every time. And I sometimes struggle to meet some of my kids' and stepkids' needs. And honestly, that's okay. Mm-hmm. And so for you listening right now, guess what? That's okay for you too.
Right.
What's really important is understanding how you can gain new awareness in your own parenting approach when things get hard, as well as some fresh insights into what each of your kids and stepkids might need in those challenging moments.
All right. Mm-hmm. So all of what we've shared so far, it's really interesting, right? And pretty conceptual.
Yeah.
But let's shift gears now and get practical around some of these needs and how we might use them to help our kids develop in healthy ways and experience a deeper sense of security and connection in our blended families. Mm-hmm. So let's start with the need for delight.
So researchers have found delight and acceptance to be uniquely correlated to a child's security and well-being. It builds the foundation for emotional and relational safety. Now, as I say that, think about that for a second. Mm-hmm. Why do you think that is? Well, what they've discovered is that from infancy, as humans, we're designed to study the people around us with a precision and an accuracy that no other researcher could ever match. Our kids and our stepkids are actually like little scientists, and the people that they study most closely are us.
Right.
You and your kids are actually both designed to read faces and interpret what they mean. Mm. We're very observant. Yeah.
Yeah. So if we all thought back to our own interactions throughout our childhoods with our own parents, we can probably remember certain things, right? Maybe a tender touch or a certain look one of our parents gave us. Mm-hmm. It could have been the tone of their voice that made us feel reassured. Mm-hmm. You know, I have these memories of my mom, kind of, she delighted in me around music. Hmm. And we were both musically inclined. And my most cherished moments with my mom were when we played duets together. I played the marimba and she would accompany me on the piano.
Fun.
Yeah. And you know, it wasn't about my performance. It was about the delight in her tone and on her face when we'd practice our duets together and then present our accomplishment to an audience. She delighted in my musical passion. Hmm. I felt special and valued and seen by her because she chose to enter into the world of music with me, and it was something we really enjoyed together.
That's really a great example, honey. And it kind of highlights how easy it can be to confuse delight with pride. They are actually very different.
Right.
See, we feel and show delight in our kids because of who they are. We feel and show pride in our kids because of what they've done.
Right.
So with pride, our affection rests on their work, but we delight in our kids not because of anything they've necessarily done, but simply because of who they are.
Right.
Seems like you and your mom were really delighting just actually kind of in each other as you played music together, which is super cool.
Yeah, it was enjoyable.
Yeah. So ask yourself, how do I communicate delight to my child? Well, here's a really simple example. At that next basketball game, or maybe whatever they're doing, rather than simply commenting on how well the child played, also notice and point out to them maybe how enthusiastically they were cheering on their teammates and they really supported the team. Appreciate that innate character that they have and who they are as a person to be an encouraging one around on the team.
Yeah.
Our delight isn't performance-based. It's really more personality-based. So noticing and commenting on who they are helps them to experience your delight.
Mm-hmm. But we all know that meeting the need of delight isn't always easy.
That's right.
Especially if we don't feel delight and we're experiencing frustration or impatience or this overwhelming sense of burden. Maybe we're just exhausted. It does take time, energy, and effort to fill the need of delight for our kids. Yeah. There's an investment there.
Yeah. And if we didn't feel delighted in by our parents, then it might not come very naturally for us either. And we've got to be able to examine that and own it and figure out a way through. Right. And then on top of that, I'm both a bio parent and a step parent. And I sometimes find it a bit easier to delight in my bio kids. And I actually think that's pretty natural for most of us. We're bonded in a different way to bio kids, and we share that biological wiring. And so delight might be challenging at times for step parents. And I just want you to know that's okay. But I want to encourage step parents to find that unique, special quality to delight in for each of your stepkids, even if it's something just small. Maybe you've noticed their natural helping spirit when they help their siblings or other friends with homework. Point that out to them and let them know that you see how they like to help others. Or it could be that you've noticed that they share their stuff easily. Point out how generous that they can be and how you love that about them. Maybe they're really enthusiastic about their hobby or sports or music. Share how you notice the way that they're putting positive energy into those things. This is communicating delight in who that stepchild is and sending the message, hey, I see you.
And what all this really means is that you're attending to your child or stepchild without distraction. You're taking opportunities to really focus on being in the moment with them. So to do that, you'll need to put your phone away. You'll need to ignore the dirty dishes in the sink for a little bit and take a break from the chaos of life to intentionally delight in your kids and stepkids. Let yourself get into their shoes. Let yourself observe with curiosity and wonder.
Yeah, I love that call to like, hey, let's put away the distractions and get focused. It makes me think about the last 10 years. I think it's Jacob just turned 18, our son, and he was 8 when he started playing the drums. And he really got into jazz, and he plays gigs all the time still. We noticed when he was young at how often he would like seek us out. His eyes were like a heat-seeking missile looking for mom and dad.
In the audience.
And I think what he was really looking for is, are you paying attention? Do you see me?
Yeah.
And I imagine some of the time he probably saw me with my attention on my phone. And that probably was a little mini dagger to the heart. But other times he made eye contact and we would smile or we would make faces at each other and he would know, hey, I see you and I see what you're doing. And then afterward, sure, we would, you know, have that pride piece and we would, you know, congratulate him for a job well done on his drums. But I know there's been times where he's like messed up a solo and he didn't feel good about it. And I just reminded him of the character of who he is and the effort that he puts into the, his music. And, you know, that's simply delighting, regardless of the outcome of the concert or how things went. So I don't know, as you were talking about that, it just really made me think about Jacob and him doing that. And we could talk about Annika in that same way. We could talk about Phoebe in that same way. But we really want to be able to call out those things that we see in the child and be very present. Don't let an opportunity go by where they're looking to you and you just miss it.
Yeah, you're not present.
Yeah, put the phone away.
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned Jacob did that when he was younger. He still does that.
He does, you're right.
He still looks out into the audience. He'll look and we'll make eye contact and sometimes he'll even wink at me.
Yep.
And he knows that I'm delighting in him because he's passionate about playing those drums.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I also love, another thing that I've noticed is these days when he does kind of miss a beat or something, one of the things he does is he looks right at me like immediately. And then he'll kind of laugh it off and he doesn't, you know, get, he doesn't plummet or anything, but it's interesting. He's looking for that reassurance.
Yeah. You're there and you notice. I love how the Ulrichs put it. They say, make tiny spaces for joy.
That's great.
And communicate delight in small, subtle ways with eye contact, facial expressions, and an accepting tone of voice. And there's a real upside to this. Besides contributing to your kids and stepkids' security and well-being, when we intentionally charge their battery of delight, it can positively impact their behavior.
That's for sure. And what that means in so many moments of our kids and stepkids' kind of meltdowns and bad attitudes and negative behaviors, they're a direct result of a child's diminished sense of attention and delight, right? Mm-hmm. If they're battery is uncharged, they're going to slip into some of those really difficult moments, especially for younger kids. When a child's delight battery gets low, they tend to act up in ways that kind of draw you in, but are really a negative cycle of attention.
Right.
However, when we're proactively recharging their delight battery, a child's natural tendency to explore independently and display some competence really kicks in.
Right. Mm-hmm. So spending some energy delighting in your kids can actually minimize the energy you'll have to expend later to deal with the negative interactions.
That's right.
Right. If their batteries are running low. And we all know how much energy that can sap, right?
For sure.
So if you can be aware of this need in each child and just make it a simple habit to get on their level and delight in something about them without being distracted, the result is a child who may not act out in order to get your attention. And even more importantly, you'll be giving them that foundation of security by sending the important message, I enjoy you, I see you, and I love who I see.
Wow, that's so powerful. And you know what? We've only tackled one of these needs so far. That is delight. And I think it's one that we probably don't think about or focus on as much as some of the others, but it is really, really critical. And step parents, I just want to encourage you. This can be a hard one. You know, sometimes we don't see our stepkids through the lens of delight, but I guarantee you, if you look hard enough, there's something to delight in it. And so I just want to encourage you to really sit back for a minute and think about that and identify how can you step into this relationship and speak life into a child through delight. And ultimately, I think that might start to help you speak life into your relationship with that stepchild.
Yeah, build connection for sure.
So I just really encourage you to do that. You know, the Ulrichs say, a child seeing and interpreting a look of delight instantly understands that he is safe. Instead of being concerned or confused about his relationship with his parent, or I might add step-parent as well, A child feeling that parent's delight can focus his attention of discovering what he's capable of and developing his gifts and skills without having to waste energy pleasing his parent or step-parent or worrying if he's going to be rejected. Mm. Let's all commit to putting some energy into this need for our kids and for our stepkids.
Yep, and you don't have to get it perfect.
Nope.
You just have to be present.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, let's talk about the next need of every child.
All right, and that's support.
All right.
The Orlicks say that support is a natural outgrowth of delight.
Mm.
When we delight in our children, we enjoy them as they are.
Hmm.
When we support them, we move into partnership and action as they move forward into the world in different ways.
Mm.
So support, it really gives us opportunities to help our kids discover and pursue the particular intrinsic things that they find interesting and valuable. It also gives us the opportunity to introduce important tasks they will need to master in order to succeed in life.
Mm-hmm.
So through support, we partner with our children as they learn about the world and find their place in it.
Yeah. And the Orlicks go on to share three healthy elements of support, which are first, valuing our kids' personal interests, feelings, and perspectives.
Mm.
We've got to be able to value those things. Second, we want to provide reasonable choices for our kids and stepkids.
Mm-hmm.
And third, we want to create structure that allows them to experience success.
Right.
So when we do these three things, we're going to be helping kids develop competence and confidence in pursuing goals, solving problems, and asking for help when they need it.
Right.
Human beings are naturally wired to ask themselves things like, what am I capable of? Or what happens next? Or where can I find joy in the world? And our great reward is to share those discoveries and accomplishments with each other. That's why little kids go, look what I can do, right?
Yep, look at me.
Exactly.
And you know, we don't have time to do a deep dive today, but we encourage you to get the book and continue learning about what healthy support really looks like. Because sometimes parents can become overly responsive in the area of support and might have a tendency to become critical, forceful, or even controlling, which isn't helpful or supportive.
Yeah, that's not actually support.
Yeah. The key to healthier support is to focus less on the end product and more on the process.
Yeah.
Kids need parental help to set their own goals, evaluate their own efforts, and judge their own outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
Ask your kids and stepkids what role they want you to play in helping them get to where they want to go.
Yeah.
And then try to step away when they want to do something on their own.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a balance there.
Yeah.
But let's talk about what support in a blended family might look like, because I think we all want to support our kids and stepkids well and help them fulfill their full potential, but we might run into some frustrations along the way, and we want to call those out so that you can work through them if you're feeling kind of stuck.
Yeah, I think about one dad that we know who was incredibly supportive of his kids' athletic pursuits.
Mm.
He had all three of his kids involved in multiple sports, and he coached quite a few of the teams.
Yeah.
He made sure they took advantage of every opportunity to grow and develop their skills. And it meant that he was joining them up for, you know, advanced trainings and different leagues and elite teams and all that. And they had to travel and they competed in these ongoing events.
Right.
So he spent a lot of time, a lot of energy, and quite frankly, a lot of money supporting his kids in this area. And during his single parent years, that was a great way for him to stay connected to the kids as well. So, I mean, it worked during that season.
Right. Yeah. But then he remarried.
Yep.
And he remarried an awesome gal who was also supportive of his kids and their athletic pursuits.
Mm-hmm.
But she quickly began to experience some frustration because although she really wanted to be supportive, she didn't want to spend every weekend traveling to his kids' sporting events and investing all her free time watching them play.
Yeah.
And what would happen is she'd come out of their weekends feeling exhausted and frustrated because there were other things that she really wanted to accomplish But she wasn't able to do those things on the weekends because of his kids' athletic activities and all that was going on.
Yeah, meanwhile, hubby's got an expectation, right? He wants his new wife to be there with him and his kids because he wants her to engage with him as he coached, and he wants her to be engaging with the kids and showing delight and being supportive and all of that stuff, right? Yep. That's not a bad expectation. No, we all want that. But the dynamic created some disagreement around what that expectation actually should be with stepmom's support. And it also led to some different perspectives around how time, energy, and finances was going to be allocated in their blended family.
Yeah. And this is a common issue for blended couples.
Yeah.
Because we all come into our blend with pre-existing ideas and pre-existing patterns of support for our bio kids, as well as expectations around how we'll support each other's kids and balance our resources. Mm-hmm. And so this couple needed to communicate and do some problem solving so that they could land on some practical agreements that would honor each of them and support the kids as well.
Yeah, and this might be something that you, as you're listening, need to do as a couple so that you can meet the need of support for your kids and stepkids in a way that doesn't create conflict, resentment, or chaos in your home. Now, another challenge that can happen is when we're co-parenting with a former spouse and they have different ideas than we do around how we're supposed to support the kids.
Oh, yeah, and we definitely ran into this. And we've heard many parents struggle with this as well. You know, my former spouse was very supportive of my daughter, Annika, when it came to sports, which was great because she really enjoyed sports, especially basketball when she was younger.
Yep.
But there were times when my ex would sign Annika up for things like, you know, a basketball camp or private coaching, and he'd schedule those things during my visitation time without my knowledge or consent, and then he would expect me to get her to those activities.
Right.
And sometimes getting her to and from these activities would disrupt the plans that we'd made for our family. And sometimes it was a real burden to do this. So this was something that we had to learn how to deal with.
Yeah. And, you know, it was challenging because we also want to show support. Like that's what we're talking about, is this attachment theory. And part of it is showing support for Annika.
Exactly.
Who genuinely wanted to do these activities, right? But it gets jumbled up in all the mix and mess and all of the stuff that happens in blended family life because we have plans or ideas, and especially me who's a planner, right? And when the plan gets hijacked because someone in the other home scheduled on our weekend, all of a sudden we're in a pickle, right?
Yep.
But ultimately, what we've got to figure out is, okay, how do we support this child in a genuine way, but doing that in a way that where it creates peace across households and within our household as well?
Takes a lot of communication.
It takes a lot of communication. Now, we also hear parents complain that when they believe something is important and they want to move it forward to support their child or get them involved in whatever it might be, sports, music, theater, art, whatever, the parent in the other home, their ex, actually refuses to cooperate. And so the child ends up missing out on a practice or a game or performance during that visitation with the other home. Man, that impacts how the child is able to progress and how they're going to show up for that activity.
And this can be really frustrating, not just for the parent who's trying to be supportive, but also for the child when they end up missing out on things, right?
Yeah.
And so these are just a few of the complications you might experience around meeting the need of support within your blended family. Some parents experience frustration because their former spouse kind of cuts them out of the information loop with their kids' activities, and then they miss out on opportunities to show up and support their kids.
And if you can relate to any of this, don't lose hope or give up.
No.
Just because it's complicated doesn't mean you can't be supportive. You might need to get creative and look for solutions that are kind of out of the box. You might need to emotionally support your child or manage your own painful emotions when someone misses out and they're really struggling. Remember that support is communicated to a child when in some way you're offering the question, how can I help? It's not about fixing every difficult situation for them, but rather it's about showing that you notice they're struggling and showing that it matters to you by coming alongside to maybe help them process or to troubleshoot together or simply to offer some encouragement along the way.
That's right. And if you're feeling like the challenges with your former spouse in the other home are creating roadblocks to you showing support to your child, and you'd like some tips around how to communicate with your former spouse about these types of issues and also protect your kids and your relationship with your kids, well, we've got some help for you.
That's right.
We're going to put a link in the show notes to episodes 112 and 113, which are all about what you can do in situations when you're either dismissed, devalued, or disregarded by your former spouse. So yeah. Check those out if you need to do that.
That's right. So both delight and support are important needs. And for you, it might be easy and natural to meet those needs often, or maybe you experience some challenges in doing that. But the Ulrichs say that your child does not have a way of understanding who they are without seeing their identity first reflected through you. You are their first mirror. That's the power of connectedness. And delight and support create connectedness. Your reactions help push them forward to keep finding out who they are and their place in the world.
That's so profound, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And it explains why our responses of delight and support are critical. And remember that we don't have to meet these needs perfectly all the time. We just have to be present in those moments when our kids and stepkids are stepping out to explore the world around them and trying to figure out where they fit.
That's right.
So let's talk about the next need, which is boundaries. Mm-hmm. And this one tends to be challenging for most parents, but the implementation of healthy boundaries can be especially complicated within blended family dynamics.
That's right. You know, boundaries are all about defining and valuing limits. So the Ulrichs book has a fantastic chapter on boundaries, and they share an insight that we've found really helpful. Mm-hmm. They say, like all people, our kids are born explorers. They're made to push limits and to want more. Desiring and overcoming are some of the most thrilling parts of being human.
Right.
But sometimes our kids' desiring goes too far, pushing them to do things that could hurt them or other people. So we want to find a balance between encouraging their explorations and teaching them the value of safe, respectful limits.
Yeah. The Ulrichs use a term I really like, boundaries set in good places.
I like that.
Yeah. They go on to say that healthy boundaries are a gift and they can bring more freedom to your family and grow your relationship with your child. Mm-hmm. Now, we believe that to be true. Mm-hmm. And it certainly has been for our family, right, honey? As we've learned how to give our kids boundaries that are set in good places. Mm-hmm. And we've also experienced the good things that have developed in our kids over the years because of those boundaries.
Yeah. And, you know, setting boundaries in good places might sound simple, but we often see situations where unbalanced boundary issues emerge. And these can happen in any family structure. But let's talk a little bit about how this might happen in a blended family dynamic. First, we can have a situation where boundaries are unclear. They're kind of mushy. When this is the case, there's a lot of frustration and chaos in the home. The adults are continually pleading with the kids in an attempt to kind of coax them into changing their behavior. But often this falls on deaf ears and behavior doesn't seem to change much at all. Sometimes that's a result of a permissive bio parent who, during their single parent years, maybe allowed their children to kind of run the show and make a lot of decisions for the household, right? That parent believes that if my kids are happy, then I'm happy. And having happiness means just saying yes to my kids, which equates to the absence of boundaries that they might not like. So basically, the kids tend to get their way most of the time, even when it's not good for them, and even when an attempt to set a boundary has been made because the boundaries really are kind of what we would call diffuse.
Right, right. And I was that parent. I was that bio parent.
I wasn't going to say anything.
Now, the other end of the spectrum is the family that's consumed by the naming and enforcing of rules and rewarding or punishing behavior accordingly, right? Mm. And in this situation, boundaries are rigid and mainly used for discipline. Mm-hmm. And discipline is about teaching respect for authority by demanding obedience and compliance.
Yeah.
Now, often we see this occur with a hurting step-parent who's mm-hmm. feeling kind of fed up with their stepkids' bad habits and disrespect and lack of responsibility. Mm-hmm. So they'll quickly move to power and control in an attempt to gain some authority and create a little more structure in the home mm-hmm. and also to ease their own pain. And often they'll insist that their spouse, the bio parent, start imposing all kinds of new rules and unrealistic expectations onto their kids. Mm-hmm. Now, this step-parent has a belief that it's very important for their stepkids to learn to obey. But unfortunately, as we've talked about many times before here on the show, this approach tends to backfire, and it will only work against the step-parent in the long run because it actually sabotages their relationship with their stepkids and causes disconnection and even more pain and frustration in the home.
Yeah, and you can say it early on. This was me too.
Early on, absolutely, you were that step-parent. We've been
but,
there.
You know, honestly, I'm really grateful that we learned about some of this, not all of it, but we mm-hmm. learned about enough of it early on that I was able to kind of shift my focus from compliance to connection. Mm-hmm. Because that's really what we're talking about, right? Is connection, is that attachment. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Annika, we're 21 years in, she's 27 now. And mm-hmm. I'd say she's fairly attached to me.
Oh, yeah.
And if I hadn't done that, if I had kept my focus on compliance all those years ago, I don't think I would have the relationship with her that I do today.
I agree with that. Yeah. We did make some shifts.
We did. Yeah. And they had to be intentional. Mm-hmm. You had to step into a position of authority and set the boundaries. Yeah. And I had to back off and mm-hmm. allow that to emerge over a little bit of time. And really just focus on connecting and, mm-hmm. and being more supportive and delighting in her than anything. Yeah,
but boundaries can be tricky.
Yeah. So, you know, extreme boundary issues, either the diffuse, you know, where we're just kind of letting them run the show, or
mm-hmm.
or the rigid, where they're, you know, set really hard, those are boundaries that are set in unhealthy places.
Right.
But when we're able to understand the value of healthy boundaries, those that are set in good places, and then work as a team to create a home where boundaries are clearly communicated and lovingly upheld, we can respond well to our kids' needs for boundaries.
Absolutely.
And again, we don't have to be perfect at this. We've just got to be willing to make some positive changes and really focus on our teamwork as a couple.
Yep, we certainly weren't perfect,
no.
but we did learn. And you know, there are three reasons boundaries are so important for kids. Mm. First, to teach them how to live at peace with others and to understand that their actions have consequences. Mm-hmm. We all need to learn that.
Yep.
Second, to pass our values about the kind of family and society we want to be a part of, right? So how to make choices that honor ourselves and others. Mm-hmm. And the third reason to give kids boundaries is so that one day they will be able to set healthy boundaries for themselves. That's so important.
That's absolutely right. And like we just shared, this is challenging mm-hmm. within the context of a blended family because sometimes we have different focal points as a bio parent and as a step parent.
And different family cultures coming together.
That's right. But what I do know is that if you and I can do it, honey, then anybody listening can do it as well.
I believe that to be true.
Yeah. I mean, we had to work really hard and sometimes it took a little bit to get through my thick skull what I actually needed to do. And I won't put it that way, but I think that might be a little bit of truth for you too.
Well, mine was more parenting from a place of fear and guilt.
That's true. And that's true.
It's hard to get past as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I was dense. You were just deep.
Yeah. Something like that.
So, okay. You didn't have to agree to that so quickly, but okay. We'll take that. Hey, those are the three exploration needs that every child has. Mm-hmm. Delight, support, and boundaries.
Yep. They're going to get out there into the world.
That's right. Now, I can't wait until next week when we talk about the other three needs that every kid has, and this is all about them seeking refuge and, and bringing closeness. I like closeness. I'm kind of a mushy guy, so I kind of like that. Yes. But you're not going to want to miss that. So like Kim said a little while ago, this might be a time for you to follow over on Spotify or over on Apple Podcasts. And don't forget to leave us a star rating as well. And that way you won't miss out on next week when we have the second part of this where we talk about those other three needs.
Yep.
But for now, that's going to make this episode a wrap.
Until next time.